This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for KingdomOfTheGiants.com. Today is Tuesday, the 2nd of November 2021, and my name's Davey McGimsey. On this week's show, we look back at 2 wins, 9 goals, only one conceded as the Giants bounce back from late in cup form from the previous weekend. We are going to look back at a thumping win in Nottingham. We're going to look out at how we've seen off the Challenge Cup group, Player of the Month. We're getting down to training where Simon talked a few of the players. And Jeff Mason is going to answer your TFA questions. But without further ado, the time, it's 5 past Panthers. Time to get going.
There it is.
So let's start straight away with the anniversary, never forgive, never forget anniversary game from last weekend, which fantastically, Paul Eady and Aaron Murphy. The first thing I really should do is introduce my very good friend, Simon Kitchen. Good evening, Simon.
Hello, David.
This is going to be a disaster, you know. Remember the last time Paddy took a night off and Hitchie did it years ago and he was never allowed back. Joel, straight from Inver Park.
Yeah, we obviously don't talk football on this show. Had the score been what it was 5 minutes ago, I'd be talking football on this show. But I think you were just too excited to get straight into it, Davey. It's never forgive, never forget season. The Giants did the business for you. There's a lot to cover, so don't blame me, mate.
We asked Kieran Long last week to do us a solid, and my goodness, did the boys come up trumps. So let's get straight to Lower Parliament Street, and let's talk about the game. Game, obviously, an absolute blowout for the Belfast Giants. 5-0, started 29 seconds into the game. Paddy's going on a roll VT, 29 seconds into the game, with a goal from JJ Pickenich, little funny bounce off the boards, and that was followed up with goals from Scott Conway, Slater Doggett, Mark Cooper, and JJ Pickenich rounding it out for a 5-0 thumping away win in Nottingham. Sizz, initial thoughts on the game?
David, it was our best game of the season. I thought from top to bottom, we were outstanding. I thought all three sections of the ice, we just covered it very, very well. Support from both the forwards, the wingers coming down to help out their D-man. Besko, another shutout from him. I don't think you could have made the performance any better, to be honest. Well, you probably could have by scoring another 5 goals past the Panthers. But, you know, it was just a solid, solid performance. Getting that lucky bounce after 15 seconds was massive. You know, it sort of deflated that big blur in the corner quicker than what it normally does. And you could just see the shoulders of all the – you could just – we're just watching here on YouTube now, and you just see the demeanor and the shoulders of the Panthers players straight away going down behind the black ball. I thought we were solid the whole way through. I thought that, you know, as I say, we started it from the back end going forward as a unit the whole night. And, you know, we made some nice plays. We scored some nice goals, a couple of passes, a couple of apples from Tyler Soy were left to drill over as well. So, look, again, there's not a bad way of beating the Panthers. But, you know, it'll be a very tough ask to go in there next time because they will be right up for that game. I don't even know when it is. I haven't looked forward to Derry. But again, solid the whole way through the lineup, and a special mention for Mason and Stu on the bench for the game itself.
Yeah, obviously Adam Keith missing the weekend through COVID-19 protocols, but hopefully see him back in the rink not too distant future. Joel, fast from the Belfast Giants, slick passing out of our own defensive zone right through the ice.
100%, Davey. And before I get on to that, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, the need for the Giants to respond following sort of a less than impressive weekend last week. You know, the word after that 3-0 defeat in Manchester for the next night, the cup game in Dundee against Dundee in Belfast from Adam Keefe was respond. Didn't maybe get that on the night, but listen, timing is everything in sports. And if you give me a choice between the Giants responding to a Dundee Cup group game with our place more or less tied up, or the first road game to the Nottingham Panthers on the NFNF week. This is absolutely just fantastic. As Simon says, performance of the season so far. And I think the Giants' speed out of the traps really caught Nottingham off guard. For me, this game was defined by doing things that we maybe weren't doing so much the weekend before. I think pretty much every one of those goals came from net front presence. You know, the boys were going to the net. They knew where each other was going to be. I mean, that says mentioned Tyler Soy. I think Tyler Soy announced his arrival during this game. His second one specifically, him and Mark Cooper knew where each other were going to be for that goal. You know, he laid that back from behind the net. Coops was just on the edge of that post getting ready to snipe it. Just top to bottom, an absolutely fantastic performance. And could you have picked a better weekend for it? Delighted me.
There's a couple of things that I know this, Paddy maybe doesn't join in the conversation as much, but I'll forgive myself for doing this. I love face-offs. I love the whole drama around a face-off. I love the tactics involved in a face-off. And if you're watching on YouTube or you get to watch the game back, whatever, our very first goal, it's underrated how much of a play Cam Knight makes. The muscle, the forward out of the way, they allow Reinhardt to go round the wall and up the, I think it's Goody going up the left wing. Just that getting the winger buy-in if you just can't quite win the face-off clean. And the boys bought in and the speed from, you know, going through. And although we scored 5 goals defensively, shutout for Tyler Bescarani, says.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, just when you watch the play, you talk about, Joel was talking about that Coops goal. You know, just watch what he does. You know, he just creates the space for himself. He does know that Soy's coming around behind the net and it's going back to where it came from. Kevin Carr just didn't have a chance. He was already at his left post looking for him to come around, and he's probably still standing there waiting for him. And, you know, the little drop pass, Coops just puts his big back end out, pushes a couple of Panthers out of the way. Solid, solid goal. But we talk about how good we were. The Panthers were poor. I mean, in my opinion, I know their coaches said, and fair play to Tim Wallace, he came out and he said, you know, they just didn't get going. They just, you know, they didn't have any oomph. They didn't have anything for the game itself. You know, a real honest interview from him after the game. And we just dominated, absolutely dominated them. I don't know what the shots on goal, Davey. You know, I didn't catch it there when you came out. But I mean, just watching that fifth goal, I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Welsh. It followed Pickenich up the wall, pick came back down again, cut through the circle. Welsh just gave it up. He just gave it up. If Welsh keeps on going on the trajectory that he's actually skating alongside Pickenich with, he doesn't get a chance to cut into the middle of the net. And you know, for me, the coach would be absolutely raging with that. And we talked about it the week before last when we get beat 3-0 by Manchester. And the previous week that Manchester were humped 8-0 by 5. Teams don't like being embarrassed. That was an embarrassment for the Nottingham Panthers. They went out the next night and beat Cardiff in Cardiff 3-0. Cardiff went out the next night and they were 4-0 up against Coventry, which we'll talk about briefly later on. Those things really do hurt a team as a unit. And again, from our side of things, you know, coming off the disappointing result the previous week against Manchester, and okay, we had the game against Dundee in between, but, you know, solid, solid performance. Honestly, I was sitting watching it in Premier Sports in the house. I don't think it could have went any better. It was brilliant.
So as Simon asked the question, there are 42 shots for the Belfast Giants, 37 saves from Kevin Carr, who actually at times in the game stopped it being a lot more than 5 goals. Tyler Bescarani, 26 shots, shot out. But as Paddy's left on the agenda here, I'll throw this to you just to finish, and Simon's kind of answered it as well there, Joel. How much was it Giants being excellent, Panthers being bad, or did we just impose ourselves so early and quick in the game that we just never give them an option to get in?
Momentum is everything. You know, you talked about the Giants' speed out of the traps. That Panthers team were not ready for the speed. And for that first period, it was maybe 10 minutes into that game before the Panthers managed to hold up an odd man rush from Belfast. We were pouring forward. And I think the ice just began to tilt, honestly. I think you're right. You know, Carr, especially in the first period, he stood on his head. There was one moment towards the end of that first period, he got a leg down to an absolutely certain Mark Cooper goal. A stunning save. But listen, you play what's in front of you. Belfast went into a very difficult building. We have had tough, tough nights over there throughout the years against good Panthers teams, against poor Panthers teams. It's not an easy place to go, especially on a Friday night game, big arena game. And I just, you play what's in front of you. The Giants executed. They were clinical. They were speedy. The only thing, if I'm allowed to say it, the only one thing I would have liked is a power play goal. We obviously had nearly a full 2 minutes at 5-on-3 in the third. And obviously the power play is just kind of maybe a little slower to kick into life than other facets of the game. You know, the penalty kills looking healthy, whatever else. But you really, I mean, that's me being picky. You cannot fault a 5-0 win on the road.
Then we moved back home for the following night, and it was a 4-1 win against the Fife Flyers in the last home game in the last series of the group stage of the Challenge Cup. Scott Conway, Lewis Hook, Jordan Boucher and Mark Cooper with the goals. Jackson Whistle conceding one with 16 saves. The refs, Chris Wells and Andy Dalton, will close out game, Simon, in the Challenge Cup. But the Giants look strong against very lackluster Fife.
Yeah, the first 40 minutes anyway, I thought we looked very, very good. Fife didn't really give us any problems. Third period, I think the coaching staff will be a wee bit disappointed with conceding a goal. You know, it's sort of bobble. It's a bobble and pocket centre ice. I think it was Longer tried to kick it away. And it unfortunately, just went sort of through his legs. Your man, fair play to Amundsen, he put the Jets on and pushed through for the first and only goal for the Fife Flyers. But again, you know, we scored some nice goals against Fife, and you know, you've played them four times this season. We've beat them four times. It's been a difficult start to the Flyers this season, and you know, but the three games previous, I think it was 14 goals they had scored in the three games previous. So you know, they were firing. They obviously got a big win over the Manchester Storm then to beat Dundee. And again, coming into Belfast after, you know, we talked about it before, the 5-0 win over the Fife Flyers, you just wanted to try and bring that momentum in to the game in Belfast. And I actually thought we did that. Solid performance again. You know, Jackson Kapulov, a couple of number of saves, and Shane Owen played out, did, you know, at the other end as well. But at the end of the day, that's what goalies are paid for. You know, they say about putting off massive saves. That's exactly what they get their wages for. So it's a weekend that, you know, the week before we were, well, there was a few of us a wee bit down the dumps. Some people were a wee bit more annoyed than others, Patrick. You know, when we come out, I'm sure, you know, Paddy would have been absolutely delighted with the performance on Friday night. And I know he watched the game on Saturday night on the webcast as well. So, yeah, it's a solid win. We've got 7 wins out of 8 in the Challenge Cup group. It's been spot on.
Joel, as the goals spin through here on YouTube, do you want to talk us through a few of the goals there for the people at home?
Yeah, absolutely. First goal was Scott Conway, worked his way in close. Pretty much an easy finish, to be honest, past Shane Owen. I have to say, I understand what Sizz is saying. I agree with him. I feel for Shane Owen, though. He's still a quality goalie, making good saves, and I think limiting a lot of damage at times with that Fife side. And to be honest, personally speaking, if we didn't have the opportunity to bring back a championship winner in Tyler Bescarwani, I'd have been quite happy to see Owe back in Belfast. He's a top lad, and he's a good goalie. But it was then 2-0 at 16:27. And again, to me, this is Lewis Hook on the score sheet again. Love to see that. Lewis Hook's goal season has begun in earnest. Doubled up just again for me with solid net front presence. The Giants were going to the net and good things were happening. There was just so much traffic in front of Owen, and to be honest, we've seen it throughout the season so far that Fife defense just doesn't really offer a great deal. The second period at 32:52, we got a goal on the power play, I believe. Jordan Boucher tucked to him at close range, and Scott Conway Pickenich with the helpers on that. And then just a couple of minutes later, Mark Cooper added a fourth from a Griffin Reinhardt pass out of the zone for 4-0. And then to be fair, as we say, James Anderson pulled one back at 49:11. I think there was a bit of a neutral zone turnover, and he kind of ran riot, a bit of a solo breakaway to pull one back for Fife. But then they promptly took a hooking call, I think at 51:30. Which really killed the momentum. But look, our hard work was done on Friday. It was a great night in the arena. There was a great crowd in. It was obviously the Giants' special Halloween night, which is great. You know, a lot of people, I think, came and had a great night and had an entertaining game in front of them. But we were just playing comfortable hockey with the pressure off, and you could see it. I think we once again routed a team who are just still not at the races.
Says it was a second opportunity for the coaching staff to get young Cale Beattie into the lineup, and about 5 minutes of ice time, he didn't do his prospects any harm at all.
Oh, again, I was hoping he would have got a wee bit more, to be honest, but the game the way it was, and yeah, okay, I know he wanted to win it, absolutely get that, but he, you know, the kid hasn't let himself down in the ice time that he's got so far, and he's 17 years of age. You know, there's a long, long way to go in his hockey career. He's got the right attitude. He needs to keep working hard. You know, there's potentially other kids, maybe about the same age, maybe a little bit younger, who are dreaming of the same thing. And you know, becoming Belfast Giants or professional hockey players. He's getting good coaching in Solway. Obviously, he trains with Giants all week, and then he travels over to Solway on a Friday. You know, Spud Grubb and Jamie Thompson are doing a really good job there. And Spud Grubb coaches the under-20 GB team as well, and he was close to getting into that lineup as a 17-year-old. So he's going the right way. And Max Stewart, you know, again, another great prospect. And again, when he played a few weeks ago against the Fife Flyers as well, You know, again, he didn't look out of place. He looked that he was comfortable there. He was doing exactly what the coaches and his teammates are telling him as well. But listen, this is a big thing. You know, they have a lot of hard work in front of them, and I know the Belfast Giants fans like to see one of their own play. It's one of the best feelings that you can have watching, being from Belfast and watching kids from Belfast coming through. But this is a professional league. It's not, and it was said it before, it's not a development league. They need to keep on working hard, whether it be in Solway, whether it be in Leeds for Mac, whether it be with the way the GB teams, they need to be working hard and twice as hard as anybody else to get noticed to play at that level. So I wish them all the best. Again, Kel did very well in the minutes that he got on Friday night. And again, hopefully that's not the last time.
And Joel, obviously 8 games for the Belfast Giants to finish top of their group, and whatever it was, it's 60 games played league-wide to eliminate one team. But the Challenge Cup sort of way it's run aside, it's been an okay, you know, we talked about this during the week on our own little WhatsApp group. It's been a kind of glorified preseason for everybody, not just the first couple of weekends before you got, and there's maybe an argument to say just to front load the season with the Challenge Cup and forget about the league until the group stages are completed, because you can see the disparity already. I think whenever they put the tables up at the start of the Premier Sports game, Sheffield Steelers like 10 points, 8 games or something, Belfast mm-hmm. Giants 2 games after, you know, 4 weeks this season, week 5 of the season. But, you know, a good positive finish for the group stages.
Yeah, look, you have to be realistic. You know, we don't unfortunately get the luxury of like a month-long preseason camp here with the number of developmental games or whatever else. You know, the boys, and especially this year with obviously the way things shook out post-lockdowns, you know, the boys were coming in a couple of weeks to sort of get to know each other, get to know the systems, get a feel for your line mates. So I'm not a big fan of the Challenge Cup format. I've said it before, like it's too many games. I think the format needs a bit of a shake up. Too many games for the fact that this year without Glasgow's involvement, only one team dropped out, and it literally, I think, came down to like what, a single point, 2 points between Manchester and Fife. So it is, though, it has been this season specifically a good way to get the legs under the boys to start kind of playing proper opposition, because as much as you'll go hard in practice, nothing really compares to playing, you know, an opposition team who are playing full tilt against you, full physicality. So it definitely served its purpose, and for me it's job done. And if you don't mind, Davey, you know, I don't think we can mention Kel Beattie and the debut of local lads without giving a shout out to James Nelson. I don't know if you were gonna maybe come to this after, but James Nelson, the young Lino, who got his first game in the EIHL. Kid's been around the arena as long as I can remember, since he was a wee boy himself. Worked really, really hard at learning the trade and getting in with the refs, and really, really lovely to see him get his first experience of Elite League action. And long may it continue. Listen, you say it. I think you say it quite often, Davey. The game doesn't happen without the stripies. So fair play to him. There's not many people would put on those stripes and put themselves in the Lions' den like that. But I felt really proud of young James. He's a great kid, and he deserved it.
Simon, I'm sure you know this kid from the ice pool.
Referee, man. I don't really pay much attention to this kid.
Come on. Be nice. Be nice. Mike listen to this. Might not.
No, look, he has. He's been around a long time. And, you know, he's been doing the penalty boxes at the arena and stuff as well, building that up. And he does the kids' games when they play as well. So it's great. Look, we bring Vitas up from Dundalk for games. He came up at the last minute. What happened was the two linesmen missed their flight. So Vitas was rang and asked to come up, and Vitas is just not long back from a really bad knee injury. You know, it's great to see. And then he took a slap shot as well. You know, I'm not sure where it caught him, but let's just say it was uncomfortable. I was talking to him after the match and he was okay. So great to see James get his opportunity. Hopefully it's not going to be the last time. You know, it's always good to have local officiating, because if they can maybe just show a little bit of a positive trait towards the home team, then that's great. I'm not looking for it, but you know, it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes they're maybe a little bit harsh on maybe decisions that you think that would have went your way. So it's the officials are very, very important for our game. So great to see him get his chance, and he certainly didn't let himself down. I thought he had a good game.
I don't think Andy Dalton ever got that memo. Can we pass that on to him?
He doesn't listen anyway.
Give us a touch, Dalton.
He listens to the show, but he doesn't listen to it. He actually came over. He actually came over to me. Was it before the game? So it was before the game at the weekend, Sunday, because there was. I can't even remember. He came over and said, he says, remember you pointed, you gave me a bit of a rollicking after the match the last time I was here 2 weeks ago, and I says, well, it's sort of standard to give you, you know, I'm not not afraid to say to you that you had made a mistake. He says, you were right that time. And I said, what do you mean that time?
Way to take it gracefully.
And said, you were right that time. I said, thanks very much, Andy. It's all appreciated. But, you know, I don't normally say to unless I am right. Like,
there you go. Ten man has a heart after all. Like,
well, highlights of that game are available from Belfast Giants TV. And thanks to Premier Sports and Giants TV for the goal footage from both the games from the weekend. And now it's time for Simon's Weekly run down the training to talk to the boys.
JJ, weekend, another 4 points. Coming off the back of the previous weekend, the Manchester away form, disappointed with the performance and the result. You must have been very pleased with the result and the performance after Friday night's game in Nottingham.
Yeah, definitely. We were coming off a weekend that we weren't too happy about, like you said, and we had a really good week of practice leading up to Nottingham, and I really thought the guys played really well.
Saturday night again in Belfast. Next week, Jamal, I want to rewind about a little bit. Two goals for yourself. Talk us through that first one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the first one's definitely a bit of a gift, but we always talk about going to the net and getting pucks deep. And usually you don't get rewarded as good as that, but, you know, we'll take it. We'll take that kind of start to the game. So all around good stuff.
Quickest goal for the Giants this season. And I'll have to ask you, David and Jim, for the quickest goal for the Giants from the start of the game for quite some time. Fife on Saturday night. You've already played them a few times this season. We've been successful about them and against them so far. Another game that you just wanted to carry Friday night's form into.
Yeah, definitely. And I thought we did a good job of that. You know, Fife has, we've had their number a bit, but they've put together a couple wins before us, I know, that weekend. So, something we didn't want to take for granted, and I thought we did a good job playing our game and not playing to anybody else's level. And you know, we're not going to worry about what they're doing; they're going to have to worry about what we're doing. So we dictated the game well.
A couple of days off, bit of a fancy chess party for the boys. All looked fabulous, by the way. And then heading into this week, you've got Sheffield and Glasgow, two teams that you haven't faced so far this season. Are you looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, Sheffield has kind of made their way to the top, it seems like, in terms of games we want to be circling on the calendar. So we're definitely excited for the challenge, and it should be a good weekend with Glasgow coming here as well.
Come on, JJ.
Thank you.
Royal Troon.
Yeah.
Played there before?
Yeah.
Yeah? A
couple of years back, yeah.
Good course?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. Looking forward to getting a few more rounds in Belfast?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll have to get them sorted for you. Last weekend, first trip to Nottingham for you. Mm-hmm. Best team performance this season?
I would say so. Yeah. Yeah, we didn't give up too much defensively, which is kind of our goal going into every game, to kind of limit good scoring chances for their team and not turn over pucks at blue lines and in areas where they can go back on the attack. So I feel like we did that really well, and we just let our speed and our creativity take over in the offensive zone to get us chances. We didn't try and cheat for any offense, and I think that's the key to how we play.
You play with Coots and Soisy on basically the weekend itself. Soisy come up with a couple of nice fishes.
Yeah, he's got some serious vision. So it's nice just trying to get open, because you know he'll find you. So that's all me and Coops are trying to do. Just we're gonna try and grab the puck down low and find him, and then get open. He'll find us.
Back in Belfast on Saturday night against the Fife Flyers, you carried the form from Friday night into Saturday for the first two periods. Third period, did you take the feet off the gas a little bit?
You know what? I in the room we all talked about ending the weekend well, and we definitely wanted to win that period. I thought we came out hard and we still played pretty well. We couldn't find the back of the net, and kind of one mistake. I think we turned it over at the offensive line. They came down and scored. So it was just kind of a maybe a mental error. I don't know. But yeah, I think,
I'm not having a go at you.
Yeah, no. I personally didn't think we played too bad in the third. Yeah. Just kind of, we really wanted to win that period, and it didn't happen. So we'll keep that in mind for this weekend to never let our foot off the gas.
4 point weekend though, finishing top of the group in the Challenge Cup, and now it's literally concentration on the league action. First trip to Sheffield this weekend for you. Another tough opponent coming up. What have the boys told you? What sort of atmosphere? What sort of game do you expect?
Everyone's saying they're a really aggressive team that'll make you pay if you make mistakes. So we just got to execute the whole weekend and kind of, if they're aggressive, we got to come at them just as aggressive and maybe take the play to them.
Looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, absolutely.
Top man. Cheers, Slater.
Cheers. Lewis Hook, you take your mask off. We're far enough away from each other. Yeah. Okay. Hookie, the weekend, very impressive performance on Friday night against the Nottingham Panthers. Give us your view on that first game.
Yeah, I think obviously coming back from the weekend before that in Manchester, we weren't happy with that. You know, we had a hard week of practice, and then I think we took that into the game, had a great start, and then just kept the ball rolling. I think we defensively were just the best we've played in a long time.
Back on Saturday night, you carried that momentum into the Saturday game against Fife. I know, quick goal, obviously got the game winner. But, you know, again, an opportunity for guys to you know, get extra minutes with a few fellas in the lineup.
Yeah, definitely. I think I was one of those guys that, you know, got a few extra minutes, which was nice. And then, like you said, we just kept the ball rolling from Friday night. I think, you know, although the Challenge Cup kind of, you know, it was kind of already done, we want to keep this ball rolling and keep winning and getting the points.
After a couple of days off, which is the first time in a while, you get up too much?
Not too much. Little FaceTime with you the other night. Yeah. I wish I could remember.
Hi, Dicko.
What's he talking about now? What is he talking about?
Here, what here? What about Dicko's birthday?
Dicko's birthday. He's 35 today.
Hi.
34. I look better than you.
Don't look a day older than 30, mate.
I know, I really don't. I feel it though.
Right, we'll carry on this interview if that's okay.
What are you
doing? Did an interview with Hookie.
Oh, because he scored a goal.
This weekend, two more games this weekend. Away to Sheffield, you face them for the first time this year. Always a tough opponent.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, when you're looking down the league, I think they're definitely going to be one of the favourites for the title. So it's important for us to go and first time playing each other, you know, put a good performance in, and especially on the road, and like just keep this ball rolling, really.
And then Saturday? No, Sunday. Sunday against Glasgow, back in their first game as well in the arena.
Yeah, exactly. It's their first time we'll see them as well. And I think, their second game maybe of the season? So don't really know too much about them at the moment because we've not seen them in action. But I'm sure it'll be an exciting game back at home.
Talk us through the footwear.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
Straight out of bed.
Cheers, Ricky.
Cheers, mate.
And thank you to Simon and to JJ Pickenich, Slater Doggett, Lewis Hook, and of course, happy birthday to the legendary Andrew Dixon.
What a show stealer, man.
Dicko's just, he's just a class act. Like, he's funny. Honestly, and I know you've listened to him a few times on here before, but he's just lightning quick. Like, I mean, proper lightning quick with a wit. But no, it's always good to have a chat with Hooky as well. So, and the boys.
And it's time to move on to something that we've missed doing for a long, long time now. It's the Phone a Cab sponsored AVFT, the prestigious, it's the big trophy, the AVFTB Player of the Month Award. And this month's four nominees, by the magic of hopefully Paddy in the background. First up, number 8, Belfast Giants official Sport Club sponsored Lewis Hook. Number 10, Lockdown sponsored Scott Conway. No. Third, Jordan Boucher, sponsored by Harry Corrier Interiors. And last but not least, give it some. Number 34, Tyler Biscarani, sponsored by JK Coaches.
Nice.
There you go, Seth. So let's have a look. Who's your book going to, Simon? Or talk me through the nominees.
Oh, very worthy, you know, and you know, I think Hookie's had a good start to the season. 3 goals in October. I think. Was it 2 of them game winners, Davey? Definitely 1 game winner. You got the game winner at the weekend. I think he had another one as well. Conway, to be honest, I thought Scotty's been great since he came in. And I can't argue with Jordan Boucher either. You know, I'm really, really liking his game. Besko with 3 shutouts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very tough ask. But I'm going to go with Scott Conway. You know, I said at the start of the season that I think this kid's got it. I think he's got the potential to score. I actually think he's got the potential to score 30. He just knows where the target is. You know, he's got the hat-trick against Coveney a couple of weeks ago. He just seems to be scoring at least every weekend anyway. So long, long, long may it continue. But my vote this month goes to Scott Conway.
Joel, give me that sort of looking down to looking up thing they're doing there on screen before we start.
Well, thankfully, I've got a beard that hides all those chins, mate, so I can comfortably do that without you seeing it. but I just, you know, I don't have the jawline of these boys. That's for everybody watching on YouTube. Watch the show on YouTube, by the way. It's good.
And yourself, obviously, the four nominations. Is there anybody else you would have threw in there as a nomination, or are you happy enough? And who's your vote going to be?
I have been big on Hooky since he came back. Lewis Hook is back, I think, with a few more kind of tools on the belt. I think he's back with a bit more kind of offense to his game this year. I think, to be honest, the notable omission there would maybe be David Goodwin, who has been, for me, a model captain and all over the ice since he came back. I am helping out a little bit with sort of socials and game day bits and pieces of media this season, and I feel like I barely go 10 minutes without seeing that gif of Scott Conway with the stick in his teeth. So he's just been prolific offensively. He's had an absolutely sensational start to his career as a Giant. Jordan Boucher reminds me of Darryl Lloyd, and I'm always going to love him for that. And Besko, it's a bit unfair on Besko because you almost just expect him to shut the door just because of who he is. But he doesn't get my vote because he's cost me 60 quid this month. So
it's just 30. It's only a tenner, a shutout, is it not?
I'm in for 20, mate.
All right, well, I just double that. You just doubled what you were there. Don't have to respect you. Talking of which, very quickly on that, that's up over £400 already. So thanks to everybody who's donated there. I'm looking at the notes here to see if whether Paddy's going to put his vote up. But like anyone from that, Scott Conway, David Goodwin, JJ Pickenitz, Lang could have taken it. It's interesting that in a month where goals at times were at a bit of a premium, that no one on the defensive end of the ice has really been mentioned apart from Besko. I like Lewis Hook in that there's been games where we've had players out and Lewis has had to step up a line and play power play, pay special teams, get double his ice time on any given night. Like from Friday night to Saturday night, his ice time probably half, but he puts the same in every shift. He keeps going to the net there. That goal that we scored, not sure, it was probably the last one, the Pickenitz scores, is made. Longer drops the puck off to Hooky in his own defensive zone, and he goes right up the boards, right behind the net, strong, through a couple of forechecks, and dishes it off to Pickenitz, who does the rest. So Hooky's been really good, but it's hard to look past goals. Goals win games, and Scott Conway has been going in, and his goals have been in that dirty area. He goes in there and gets his nose dirty and gets the wee tips and flicks in and around goal. He's like that first one against the OA on Sunday night, where his stick's in the right place at the right time. The wee feed goes in and he puts it top shelf. So, yeah, I'll be with Simon there on this month. I'll be looking. My vote will be going to Scott Conway. But voting opens at 9 a.m. Wednesday morning and will continue to 5 p.m. on Friday. And we'll hopefully get that trophy handed out at the first home game possible on Sunday against the Glasgow Clan. And a massive thank you to Simon, the Phone a Cab, for sponsoring that trophy as always. And look forward to doing this on a monthly basis going forward. Now it's time to move on to the bit we all love doing, getting somebody in from the club to talk to. And this week, it's the new interim head coach, Jeff Mason. Hey, oh, coach.
Hold on, sorry. All right, mate. Welcome back to the show, mate. It's good to see you, mate.
I wore that for you, Joel.
Always good to have you on, mate.
For those not watching on YouTube, Joel can explain Mace's outfit here because it means nothing to me.
Just a couple of boys who are really good taste in sports teams, and I hope Paddy's enjoying his night off. We know Mace is a good Boston boy, good Red Sox boy. Close but no cigar this year, but impeccable taste in sports teams.
So let's get on with what we're here to talk about. And Mace, last weekend, due to COVID protocols, obviously Adams missed out on the trip to the Nottingham in the home game, and yourself and Stu have stepped up. Was that an enjoyable experience to kind of be the interim, the main man for the weekend?
Yeah, it was, because we won. if the results had gone a bit differently, maybe not so much. The boys made it quite easy on the, certainly Friday night, getting off to a lead 20 seconds into the game and then just rolling from there. So, it was certainly, they made it a lot easier than it potentially could have been, but no, it was fun and, you know, certainly just trying to, do my bit to help the team.
It couldn't really get off to a better start for you on Friday night, Mace. You know, you've got a goal handed on a plate to JJ Pickenitz after 15 seconds. And I was talking to a couple of boys, at a training this morning, but it was the best, in my opinion, it was the best performance of the season. What about you?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, certainly, like you said, we got off to a good start. It's something that we've tried to preach all year. And in some, you know, in some games this year, we've gotten off to a really good start, but we haven't been able to get a goal and we've controlled all the play. And then, you know, if the other team's able to get one, it really changes the whole complexion of the game. So getting out to a good start, obviously we didn't, you know, draw it up to score 20 seconds in or whatever it was, but the hope was to get out and get an early lead and, you know, play from the front because it's much easier to play from the front. So full credit to those guys. They were able to do that. And, you know, lucky bounce or not, you know, you make your own luck in this game. And it got off on the right foot and it just continued from there on.
Miss, we talked about it just before you come on to join us here, and I spoke to you briefly about it after the game against Fife at the weekend. But for me, one of the standouts of the weekend was Tyler Soy. I feel like he's really announced himself onto the team with those couple of kind of no-lookers to set up two goals. You had kind of said not just Tyler, but his line mates were really a standout this weekend.
Yeah, I thought that line was key for us. And if they can continue in that kind of form and have that kind of chemistry, we'll be in really good shape. I thought the previous weekend in the Dundee game, they were probably our best line and they carried that on and had an excellent weekend, both in Nottingham and then home versus Fife. So, you know, as we talked about there after the game, you know, Tyler got off to a little bit of a rough start and had the injury and wasn't, you know, didn't have the chemistry. And so it's always tough when you go into a new place. And if you don't get off to the best start, sometimes people can't. You know, sometimes people can't climb out of that. We knew he was a skilled player coming in and we were told that he could do those kind of things. So it was nice to be able to see him go out and do that. And I thought that line was really a catalyst for us, you know, last weekend. And if they can continue to bring that, you know, I really like our chances.
Mace, would it be fair to say that's probably one of the first sort of 60-minute performances of the season? Happy that the boys went right to the buzzer?
Yeah, you know, I think without picking specifics, I think there have been other games that we've played pretty solidly in the opening weekends from start to finish. But yeah, there's been a few times this year where we maybe, you know, kind of lacked some concentration or and gave things up a bit too easy or made some ill-advised plays. Certainly coming off the weekend prior, which none of us were happy with and we didn't see as an indication of our team. We wanted to get back to working hard and get back to doing the things that we had done early in the season. And I think we certainly did that. And, you know, I think the team that we saw this past weekend was the team that we feel we have as opposed to the team the weekend before in Manchester and then the shootout win to Dundee.
Mace, obviously we've had our injury problems. A couple of guys have been out of the lineup, and so far this season, you've brought in Kyle Beattie and Max Stewart, two youngsters, two very very eager kids, two guys who want to become professional hockey players. What's your thoughts on, firstly, the way they've been training since the start of September, and how they've done in the games that they've played?
I think, well, initially when we had talked about bringing them in, none of us would have pictured that they would have already seen game action this early in the season. But the idea was to get them in, and one, it helps us as bodies in training, but primarily for their development, to be able to be out there with the guys every day and practicing, you know, only will help in their long-term development, which hopefully ends up being, you know, that they play significant, you know, roles on this team further down the line. As we got into camp and other things, we were quite impressed with how they handled themselves and how they adapted. Certainly an adjustment for anyone of that age, but we thought they handled themselves really well. And then, like you said, I mean, we had crazy amounts of injuries and everything seemed to happen at once. And they got in, and you know, the game in Fife, I thought they played well and in limited minutes and really, you know, gave us what we needed, which is we needed some players to step in and fill some minutes for us and take some load off some of the other guys. And then the game at home that they had played, you know, I think they had played, the two of them played almost a regular shift and saw quite a bit of ice time and certainly played well. And then Kel again playing the other night and giving us some much needed minutes, and I thought he played well. So I think we couldn't have asked for anything more from what they've brought so far. You know, hopefully the injury bug goes away and we don't need to call on them too much, you know, going forward. But it's great to have them there in practice and certainly, you know, to have them available if we do need them.
Davey, I'm going to bounce to Twitter, if you don't mind. There's been a really good question for you, Mace, from a friend of the show, Teal Trooper Daz, who writes in regularly with some great questions. Your history with the Giants, I mean, where does the time go? You go a long way back now. I believe you came here, was it under Doug Christensen in his first season?
It was 2010.
Missed the league by, a single point that season, then managed to win it the next year or something like that. You took a little break somewhere in the middle there, but you've pretty much done it all in Teal at this point and now behind the bench. Whenever you look back over that as a kind of body of work, both on the ice and on the bench, is there anything that you particularly would look back on with the most pride? You know, a game, a season, an achievement. What is it that has made all of this kind of worthwhile to you?
You know, I think I look back to my second season here when we won the league, and that was, was really special because it was the first time that I had won a trophy here, and you know, we had a great bunch of guys, and it was, you know, I think to think back to that weekend at home versus Sheffield when we won the league, and it was such a cool experience. So, you know, your first trophy somewhere is always quite, and it was my first trophy since junior hockey. So didn't win a lot in college and hadn't won, you know, prior in pro coming in, not to. So that was a really special year. You know, the other years that we won, I think were just as special. The year that we kind of ran away with everything. And then my last year playing there, the Challenge Cup trophy, going into, you know, a hostile environment in Cardiff where nobody really gave us any kind of a chance to win besides the guys in the locker room and the, you know, 400 odd Giants fans in the corner. So I think those are certainly very special moments. The moment behind the bench when we beat Liberec there in the CHL was, you know, I remember going home and having a hard time sleeping that night because, you know, the heart was still pumping from that. So certainly a lot of special moments. You know, I could go on and on about things, but those are some of the ones that definitely stand out.
Just before we pick up another couple of questions from Twitter, Mace, how many times do you have to charge your phone at the weekend from Adam ringing you on Friday?
Stewie actually said maybe we should just, like, get him on speakerphone and just leave it running the whole time because it would be a bit easier. But certainly appreciate his insight and his chat and keeping him from going stir crazy. So
there was a little bit of a follow up to Daz Teal Trooper, and you know, we don't really like to talk about this, but you did take a short sabbatical from being a Giants legend, Mace, obviously a stint in Norway. At the time, I guess, you know, it's been a few years now and whatever else. Were you looking for a change of scenery back then? What was it that sort of drew you out into try and kind of plying your trade in Europe and trying it out there?
To be honest with you, I really enjoyed it here and didn't want to leave. But after the season that I had individually, I was kind of felt the pressure of if you don't leave now or try, then you're never going to, you know, you're never going to do something different. And not saying that something different is always right. And it certainly for me, it wasn't, but there was opportunity there to try something else and go to a different league. And that was really what that was. I kind of felt the pressure that, you know, if not now, then never. And as opposed to looking back and saying, you should have maybe taken one of those or tried that or tried something different. I did. And it wasn't a good fit. And fortunately, you know, came back and here I am. Not sure that I thought when I came back that I would still be sitting here today, but you know, that's just how it goes.
I think we're pretty glad that you still are, to be honest. I don't think anybody can sort of look down on a pro athlete, you know, and their kind of prime of their career going and trying it somewhere else. You know, I think with, you know, the years that have passed in the hindsight, I totally get it, but I'm definitely glad that you found your way back here to win a few more trophies.
I appreciate that. I'm glad I did as well.
when you think of it, it's slightly over 10 years now with the organization, bar that little break in Norway that was just discussed, and you know I like my numbers and all, but whenever you first signed for Dog way back in 2010, could you have pictured yourself the all-time leading Belfast Giants defensive man and scoring, standing on the bench, coaching the team, the great success over the last number of years as well? It's been it's almost a fairy tale.
Yeah, I never, to be 100% honest with you, I never envisioned any of that when I first came over here. For a number of years before that, I had spent 1 to 2 years in places, and kind of my mindset at the time was, I'm going to play and see as many countries and different places and teams as I can while this hockey odyssey is going on. And that was really my mindset coming into it. Came over here and really enjoyed my time in Belfast. Didn't get off to the best start, broke my thumb, whatever, like 5-6 games in, 7 games in. And, fell in love with the city and the people. And it obviously, you know, looking back on, I actually said to Stewie when we were going to Fife, when we were on the bus to Fife, the game that Mac was playing, and I looked over at Stewie and I said, Stewie, it hasn't hit me yet, but I said, when I just wrote Mac's name on my game card, it made me feel really old, because I said, when I came over here, Mac was younger than my son Max is now.
Oh my God.
And he looked at me and he goes, well, how do you think it makes me feel? True, very true. But no, it really, none of this was, you know, playing for as long as I did for the team and as many games and then ended up coaching and stuff. It was never on the radar when I came over here. I was looking for a new experience and I certainly got one.
And just before Simon closes out there, we often joke about Belfast's biggest asset are women. Obviously fell in love, lovely family. We kid now in Belfast as well. It's all just working out. It's all coming up roses, mate.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's what we try to get guys to do now.
He sort of does direction. Thanks, Dave.
Oh, sorry, Sam. Sorry. Go ahead. You ask it a different way.
No, best not. You just touched on something there, Mace, which is sort of it's. I've wondered this for quite a while. You know, coming from the States or Canada. And you sort of had the mindset of coming to Belfast, then maybe going on somewhere else, seeing a lot of companies, seeing a lot of teams, playing for different, different organizations as while you could play. Is that a regular occurrence for guys? And then obviously, just as you say, you know, the amount of people that have maybe thought about doing exactly the same thing when they decide to go overseas from North America. Make their first stop in Belfast because at the end of the day, it's the first ice rink closest to the North America in Europe, and then all of a sudden decide to move on. Is that something that guys, right, this is what I'm going to do, and all of a sudden you meet somebody from Belfast, you basically end up getting married, you end up having kids, and you end up staying?
You know, I think there's a lot of people that is their mindset, and a lot of people do that, and they, you know, they play in as many countries and as many cities as they can and have that experience while they can, because there's not those kind of opportunities when you're not playing a sport, or as readily available to you. I think when people come here, they realize how great of a city it is and really, enjoy themselves so much that a lot of people think, why would I want to go anywhere else? And there's been a lot of players that have come through here that I played with. And certainly since I've been behind the bench that don't want to go anywhere else and want to stay here. And unfortunately for them, it ends up going a different way. So, I haven't known too many people that have really wanted to leave this city. you know, and we've had some guys go other places and other teams in the league and end up coming back. So it's a, you know, I think the way things are run and the way the team does it and the way the city is and everything, you know, it's an easy sell to get guys to want to come back.
Miss, I will not keep you all night, I promise. But it's good to have you back on the show.
Past my bedtime for you guys tonight, by the way. This is like
really appreciated.
I was putting Max to bed before, and I had to remind myself that I was doing this, or I'd have been asleep already.
It's actually Max that I want to touch on. He's an absolute superstar. The kid's a superstar. He spends a lot of time up in the media box throughout the season. And he took about this jogged my memory when you mentioned him, and I've just pulled it up on my Twitter. But there was a game that we had iced with an empty net goal towards the end of that last season before the pandemic, and Max had this notepad and felt tips, and he was just scribbling. And after we had scored the empty netter, I don't know if you can see this if you're watching on YouTube, but he ran over to me and just plopped this on top of my laptop, and it was a notepad with the words empty net as if he'd drawn it up. So like, what about Maxi? Is he a hockey kid? Is he into hockey? Does he want to follow in your footsteps either with skates on or with a clipboard?
You know what? He really is still into hockey. He had kids hockey last night. Plays a lot of rollerblade hockey outside as well. Likes to play rollerblade goalie, and he attempted that on the ice and then gave that up pretty quickly, which I was quite happy about. He definitely is into his hockey. He's really into. He just got NHL 22 the other day.
Oh, nice!
So he's into that, and he talks to me about. You know, he's talking to me about NHL players and like his salary cap on NHL 22 and things that I'm just like. So he's really
better watch himself.
He's definitely convinced that he knows more than me. And sometimes I think maybe he does. I don't know. But he's definitely into hockey still. And he had some friends at the game. Not this past week and the weekend before, and the friend's mom said to me, Max took great pride in explaining to me all the rules and everything that was going on in the game. So,
the kid's drawing up empty net goals. You know what I mean? That was the X's and O's did that. So I know which Mason I want behind the bench in future.
He'd probably be better off. His teams always win in NHL 22. He wins the cup every year. So, he is still into hockey. That's for sure.
And let's bring it back to this coming weekend. Obviously, we travelled to Sheffield on Saturday and then a quick turnaround for the home game against Glasgow with our first game of the season. What are you expecting, especially from the trip to Sheffield? It's going to be a difficult game.
Yeah, I mean, they're a quality side. They've got lots of firepower up and down that roster. They've had good results so far this year. I think that it's going to be a tough game. It's a tough building to go in and play. I'm certainly confident that we can go in and get a good result if we execute the way we know we can and are smart with the puck. So I think that it will be probably to this point maybe our toughest test, judging by their results so far and looking at their lineup on paper. And I think Glasgow coming in on Sunday will be a difficult challenge as well. You know, we haven't seen anything from them, so it's hard to tell, but I think they've built a pretty, rough and tough team that's going to try to maybe push you around and come in and play quite hard. And new coach, a lot of new players, first time out, they're going to come out flying. So, I think it's going to be certainly a big challenge for us on the weekend, but, I think we've shown that, when we show up and put our best effort out there, I think that we can beat anyone.
Well, I think it's only right that we do our part and say thank you and let you get off your bed then to start preparing.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Good to see you, Miss. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Miss.
No worries,
cheers,
guys.
Miss. See you in the morning.
Yeah.
And thanks again to Jeff Mason and to Belfast Giants TV for the fan agenda and to everyone for their questions. Let's move on. Joel.
Yeah, are you going to laugh at me? Are you going to laugh at me if I put my glasses on again? I genuinely can't see my notes, Davey. I'm getting
Mace old. Mace is talking about getting old. We're all getting old.
Yeah, look, we're obviously, I think it's, we're pretty much going to talk about Dobbs this week, but just a quick run through your scores over the past week. In the EIHL, in the league, last Wednesday, 27th of October, Sheffield were beaten at home by Coventry, 4-3. Friday's game, obviously, your Belfast Giants walked into the Motorpoint Arena Nottingham and hammered them 5-0. That Saturday, Dundee put 7 past Guildford in a 7-0 win at home. As Sis mentioned it earlier, but some of these results are bananas. They're swinging violently back and forward. And also then Cardiff responded to that loss. Sorry, Nottingham responded to that loss with a 3-0 shutout win in Cardiff. Sunday, 31st of October, Guildford topped Manchester in overtime 6-5. In the Challenge Cup, then, we're getting to the end of the Challenge Cup group rounds, mercifully. And on Wednesday, 27th of October, Cardiff beat Guildford away 3-2 in overtime. Friday, Manchester were beaten at home by Sheffield 7-4. Saturday, in addition to your Belfast Giants rounding out their Challenge Cup group with a 4-1 win over Fife, Sheffield beat Manchester 5-3. And then on Sunday, the game that we're going to talk about, Coventry and Cardiff. Cardiff ran out of the Sky Dome 5-2 winners, along with Fife responding with a 5-0 win over the Dundee Stars. So it just keeps pendulum back and forward with these scores. But that's the Challenge Cup groups out of the way, and we finally get into the meat of the season with the Elite League. Those are your scores, David McGimsey. I think we all know what we're going to talk about tonight in terms of league news, so we just get straight into it.
Yeah, go for it.
The only other thing this week, your Premier Sports Game of the Week is this Saturday, the 6th of November at 7 p.m. in the Drizzle Dome as the Manchester Storm take on the Guildford Flames. So tune in there and join Aaron Murphy, Paul Lady and Caitlin Berry for another great broadcast. I don't know if we obviously Paddy's riding the pine this week. So do we have any accompanying music for this? Because we've got quite a lot of Dobbs this week.
Let's see what happens.
There's no music. There's no music.
But there is footage. If you're watching on YouTube, talk us through it there, Joel, while it plays on YouTube.
Yeah, so a lot of Dobbs this week. Two of the three things, two of the three judgments from Dobbs came from the same game. So, Justin, help me with the surname pronunciation here. Is it Harmonic?
Harmonic.
Justin Harmonica has been fined and suspended for 2 games on what Dobbs called a late high hit on Cardiff's Josh Waller during their Challenge Cup game on Sunday. He was assessed a major and a game misconduct interference penalty at the time, which has since been elevated to supplementary discipline due to, quote, the lateness of the high hit and the force of the impact on a vulnerable player. So Dobbs say about this one that well after the puck is gone, Harmonica delivers a late, high, forceful hit on the vulnerable Waller, who is ineligible to be hit on the play. They say that he has no reason to be expected to be hit due to him not being in the possession of the puck and due to the length of time after the puck has passed through his vicinity, which makes him particularly vulnerable to contact. And they also note that Waller was injured on this hit. A lot of chat about this on social media, a lot of different views on it, and a lot of people saying it was a good, healthy, clean hit. I don't know about you boys, what are you saying?
Simon?
David?
It's absolutely not high for me. And it's very, very borderline on the lateness. Like, in real, brilliant watching this in super slow motion, and it takes, there's a, less than a second in super slow motion. So in real time, it's 0.2 of a second, and he's hit. That D-man, Simon will tell you better, as a player, he doesn't make that hit. The coach doesn't play him. You know, he's got no, he has to assume that player's making that puck, and he never once I don't believe he sees that puck being not handled, mishandled, whatever, because he's focused on what he's got to do and make that play. I don't think it's high. I think if anything, Hamlick has actually gone down slightly to make the contact legal. It's shoulder to chest at worst. Certainly no primary contact certainly isn't the head. I don't see any contact of the head in it whatsoever. I can see the interference in to the letter of the law because he hadn't touched the puck. So I could have lived with a 2-minute interference. I don't think the call on the ice was cracked, and I don't think Dobbs doubling down is cracked either. But there you go.
Simon, do you have any hot takes?
Yeah, I do actually. So up until now, the only way I've been able to watch this is on my phone. So you don't really see it You know, it's a mobile phone, it's an iPhone 10, whatever it is, or X. And I, up until you've basically put that footage on there, well, Patrick's put it on, I thought it was a clean hit. I thought it was well timed. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. But watching this and the way the guys have put this together in super slow mo, Hamonic does not take his eyes off the player. You can see it the whole way through there. It's definitely not a hit to the head. If to me, it's shoulder to shoulder, shoulder to chest, as Davey said, but it's late. He doesn't have the puck. He doesn't control the puck properly. Maybe it's Waller, you know, as he just looks up there, he's got his head up, you know, he's got his head up looking for the play inside, but and he doesn't control the puck. So for me, to be honest, I think it's an interference penalty. And that's only that has just changed my mind from watching this on a bigger screen on my laptop in front of me. However, it's the after effect of it. It's the what happens in the corner. And when you listen to Stu and Ed on the commentary, you don't get it there, but when you listen to Stu and Ed on the commentary, they say about Davies and Dugan jumping in on him, jumping in on Hamonic. Now, Hamonic's a big boy. And to me, he looks like he just, you know, he connects with both of them after they jump him. You don't see it here at all because it just doesn't develop onto it or goes on to the play itself. But I couldn't believe. I can't ever remember a 5-minute interference penalty. I can't remember that. It must be in the rules. I'm not saying it's not, but I can't remember anybody ever getting a 5-minute interference penalty. And the second part of it, Dugan nor Davies got a penalty for going into the corner after him. Nothing at all. Mickelson comes from the blue line, and he gets a 2+10 for the same play. Hamonic gets 5. So ultimately, it's a 3-minute power play for the Cardiff Devils. So I think we're already 3 or 4-0 up at that stage. So even listening to the commentary, Stu and Ed again basically say, you know, he's trying to switch the game. He's trying to give a bit of momentum to the Coventry Blaze. And when you watch that for the first time on a mobile phone, it's a looks like a brilliant hit, but it's late. And he deserved it. For me, he deserved a 2-minute interference call, and that's it. He certainly did not deserve to get a suspension, in my opinion. But when you, as I say, I'm just watching here, and I know you need to go and watch this on YouTube if you get the opportunity. The defenseman does not. If I'm playing the day on day, I'm watching my man coming in. I see him coming across. The puck's gone. I couldn't care less about the puck. I'm watching his chest, right in the middle of his chest, because wherever that goes, he's going. He might drop the head either way, but wherever the chest goes, he's going. And he went right. He skated right into the middle of Hamonic's shoulder. For me, it's a 2-minute penalty and nothing else. But I can sort of see where Dobbs have come from for him.
Interesting to see the two different sort of opinions, having seen it on a big screen. And definitely, if you get a chance, fire up AVFTB's YouTube. That's a great slow-mo and definitely the best view of it that I've seen. I could listen to Simon Kitchen analyze plays all day, to be honest. But, Davey, we'll move on to the other two Dobbs decisions this week, if you're happy enough. In that same game, Cardiff's Mark Lewis was assessed a major and game misconduct boarding penalty and has since been fined. And everybody's getting fined these days, and suspended for one game following a hit on Blaze forward Matthew Thompson, which sent Thompson into the boards and took him out of the game. Now, Dobbs says that Lewis attempts to close down Thompson in the Devil's zone. However, before he can do so, he passes the puck towards the goal for his teammate, and that while Thompson is initially eligible to be legally hit due to having just released the puck, this check is not legal due to the way Lewis delivers an avoidable hit on Thompson, who is thrown violently into the boards on the play. Is this one a little bit more cut and dry, Mr. Majimsey?
I think Lewis goes a little bit to inflict a little bit of punishment here on the player. I think he's a bit unfortunate that he kind of loses his feet and goes in the board. But, you know, that's an open and shut boarding. So of the two Dobbs suspensions, I actually think that's a slightly worse play, slightly more dangerous play, because the timing of the first one, it's milliseconds. That one, the puck's gone. Mark Lewis, I think he's trying to take him for a ride into the boards there, but just unfortunately, he kind of just loses his foot a wee bit and gets drilled into the boards. But for me, even at full speed, that's kind of reckless. I think there's a bit of carryover from earlier in the game where we owe yous one here, boys. And I think Lewis has done well there. Especially if they're going to levy things like you know, injury on the play for the first one, injury on play for the second one, late hit for the first one, late hit for the second one. It's interesting that one got a one game and one got a two game. I'm not sure, in my opinion, that Dobbs has particularly got either of them correct.
And as you say there, obviously Thompson was injured on that as well as Waller. I don't care if it's opposition or whatever. You don't like to see guys getting hurt playing the game. So hopefully those guys are okay and nothing too long lasting. Simon, would you have anything to add or disagree with that?
I haven't seen this before. That's when he's seen or watching it tonight. I actually think that's later on the puck being gone than what it was earlier in the game. Again, you know,
what's later?
Yeah, you want to stick up for your teammates. Absolutely. I've just literally looked at the game sheet there. You got 5+ match for the penalty itself. So the refs are, you know, I think they made their right call on that one. What did he get for a suspension? Was it 2 games?
He got 1 game.
No, which will be just a match penalty. Get you suspended for a game, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a naughty play. I mean, you look at it from the perspective of Lewis is a big boy. Thompson, you know, he certainly doesn't look as big as him. And we talk about it an awful lot, Davey. He doesn't protect himself. You know what I mean?
I'm Thompson. Sure what else he can do there, Simon? He can't expect to be hit there.
No, but when you look at it, watch him making the play. Watch. He passes the puck and he's admiring the pass. He's not thinking about it. He thinks Lewis is going to skate away from him. Do you know what I mean? He needs to be. I mean, one, he could put the brakes on and it's shoulder on shoulder.
We do talk about players' responsibility now in the modern game is on the person hitting and the person accepting the hit. And I agree to an extent there that he has to be a little more careful in what he's doing there, but I still think that's a naughty hit.
It's a naughty hit, but again, you know, it's certainly late. The way he hits the boards airborne, you know, that's going to hurt. Whether he's coming out from, you know, 2 feet or 5 feet from the wall, Lewis just uses his body very, very well. You can see him moving his feet across. He's watching the chest. He's not watching the puck. You know, he takes his man out. I think Thompson probably could have did a little bit better to protect himself in that play. A 5+ game. I think that's the right call from the referees on Dobbs.
I think that in both instances that we've watched there, you're looking at somebody 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 220 against somebody 165, 170. Both instances are a big guy against a small guy, you know, and that's always going to be a factor. But like just there where he loses, the momentum of the bigger guy hitting the smaller guy takes him up in the air, makes it look a bit worse. But at full speed, that's a naughty hit, Sam.
Look at it this way. Do you think he's going to do it again? Do you think Thompson's going to come down and mark Lewis again?
For what reason? Because he's going to try and hurt me?
No. But he's going to protect himself the next time.
Maybe, yep. Well, of course he is. In both situations, is the other, the Cardiff player, I can't remember, was it Waller in the first one?
Josh Waller, yeah.
You know, would he do anything different there? Would he keep his head up? Would he try and spin out? Would he...
When I was watching that on my phone, when I was literally, that's the only time I've watched it on my phone up until today. When I was watching it on the phone itself, to me, I thought the kid had his head down. But when you watch on a bigger screen, he just doesn't control the puck. He has a little glance up, and the connection comes in. That's a lot quicker than what that one happens from Lewis. But again, you know, this is where the experience comes in. Josh Waller's a young lad. He's very quick skates. He's very quick on his feet as well. He will know that it's not a good learning curve because from the sounds of it, the kid's hurt. But, you know, you never want to see anybody leaving the ice with assistance. You want to see everybody getting up and continuing on with the game. But I think that Waller will be keeping his head up that little bit more going into a battle or come over that blue line once again.
Obviously, would like to hear the opinions of any of the listeners as well. Please feel free to tweet us at AVFTB or find us on Facebook and let us know what you think there. I feel like Stephen Nolan here in the middle of Davian says, and I could listen to it for ages again, but we'll press on, boys. There's been one other Dops judgment this week, and there's no video footage of this incident, but Sheffield Steelers' Justin Hodgman and Manchester Storm's Jared Van Wormer have both been fined for an incident at the benches at 51-17 in their Challenge Cup game on Saturday. Hodgman for his actions from the bench, and Van Wormer for failing to proceed to the penalty box as directed. I'd love to know how much these fines are. Absolutely fantastic. Just everybody's getting fined these days. But David, that is it's Dops heavy this week, but that is your league news.
Thank you very much. And that lets us move on now to what is going to be a very exciting weekend ahead. Obviously, away to the Sheffield Steelers on Saturday night, 7 p.m. at the Utility Arena in Sheffield. That game can be viewed on Sheffield Steelers TV. And then back to Belfast for a Sunday afternoon matinee performance against the Glasgow Clan in their first outing of the season. And Patrick Smith managed to catch up with new Clan head coach Malcolm Cameron earlier.
How are you, Coach? Welcome to the league. I'm coming from more or less a Belfast perspective overall, but I'd just like to first ask, you know, how big do you see this challenge coming in as a first time in the Elite League and with the roster you've got coming in so late? It seems to be quite a big challenge.
Everything's a challenge. You know, anytime you lace the skates up and you go and play somebody, it's a challenge. You know, I've coached in a lot of different places and a lot of different leagues. You know, I think I've coached close to 900 games or something in the ECHL and 300 in the Western Hockey League, and now in several countries in Europe, university hockey in Canada. Everything's a challenge. You know, when you walk into a new team, we're rebuilding. We only brought a couple players back from the previous season, and you know, we had a late start with our recruiting, but I was pleased. I got a lot of guys that I wanted to get. Would we like to have started at the same time as everybody else? Well, of course, but you know what? Sometimes adversity, you know, makes you stronger as a group, and we face some adversity, but all the guys are here, healthy, happy, and ready to go.
Coming in as a first-time coach in the Elite League, you know, how important is it for you to lean on players like Matthew Wah, Jamie Kruksky, guys who have experience within this league?
Well, I know quite a bit about this league because the coaches in the league have been calling me for the last 15 years about players in North America. So, you know, it's a lot of the ECHL players and guys that I knew from the American Hockey League have come over here over the years. So I'm pretty familiar with the league, you know, certainly not the buildings, but you know, because I haven't been in any of them except for Brayhead. But, yeah, I mean, anytime you jump to a new league, it's, you know, there's that initial get-to-know and feeling-out process. But, you know, this is my 24th year coach, and I'm a pretty calm guy. I don't get rattled too easy.
That's good to hear. When it comes to this league, of course, you know, there are limits on imports and bringing in the British players. And you've got a lot of young Scots lads, so Stenton, Ferguson, Boyd. You know, how are you seeing these guys? Are these guys fitting in well? Do you see these guys coming through and getting a lot of ice time with your team?
I mean, it's hard to say it. I mean, training camp is one thing. Game action's another thing. But they certainly haven't, you know, disappointed me in terms of their effort. And the biggest thing for me is their growth curve and how quickly they've learned, you know, things that they haven't seen before or done before on the ice, preparation work and things like that. They've adapted really, really well. And I'd much take a younger raw player than somebody who's old and on his way out, you know, because they're a lot more motivated and, you know, they're working hard. They're in the gym. So I'm really pleased with our young local guys and excited.
You made an interesting point there about how, you know, you spent a lot of time on the coast and you know, WHL and coming in here. What sort of parity do you see between those two leagues? Do you feel you're coming into a league that, you know, isn't too far away from what you've coached in before?
It's probably more similar to the ECHL just because, you know, a lot of the guys in this league have ECHL experience. So, you know, and obviously your coach has got ECHL experience as a player. So, you know, similar, it's a lot more physical than some of the other countries that, you know, I've seen. I've been in Italy. I've been in the Erste League, which is Hungary and Romania. I've been to, you know, I've played against teams in Austria and Germany as well. This is a little bit more North American style hockey. You know, there's a lot more physical. You know, there's some fisticuffs and things like that that maybe you don't see in the other countries. And therefore, there's players on your roster here that can fill that role when you need to, whereas in other places you don't have guys that fill those roles. So I see it being very similar to the ECHL. There's quite a few more older players in this league, whereas the ECHL is more of an NHL prospect league now. The NHL has really dumped a lot of money into developing players at the ECHL level, whereas it used to be just the AHL level. So the speed, you know, the ECHL is very fast and similar to the AHL. This is probably more ECHL 7-8 years ago in terms of older players. You know, older players are smarter, so they don't have to skate around 100 miles an hour because they know where to be and they anticipate the play a little bit better. But it's going to be fun.
Does there need to be a balance there between the older players and trying to develop in that youth? Because obviously here we've had quite a bit of, I don't want to say uproar, but, you know, about that there's a perception that there's too many imports and that we're bringing in too many Canadians. But that experience is tantamount to how you bring these young players through at a British level.
Well, you know what? I tried to go out and get guys that had significant pro experience that were under 30. And because older players break down, number one, you know, it's a tough season, especially for us having to play as many games as everybody else in a shorter period of time. So I wanted to make sure I could have players that were durable enough to withstand, the schedule. Also guys that, you know, weren't, you know, you get to a certain age and you're just more worried about yourself. You get a little grumpy and you're not maybe as good as in the locker room with the younger guys as you were 5-6 years before that. So I went out and got guys that are, you know, really good in the locker room, good with the young players, willing to step up and, you know, guide them and advise them and lean on, you know, have them lean on them in terms of development and things like that. So if you look at our team as a whole, we've got, you know, a lot of the 25 to 30 year old guys on our roster.
One of the guys right in that bracket with ECHL and AHL experience is your starting goalkeeper in Shane Starrett. You know, what are you expecting from him this season? Do you think you've brought a star in there?
Yeah, I had Shane as a rookie when he was an Edmonton Oiler contract, and he was fantastic for us. It just got better as the season went on, and had a heck of a playoff for us. And then the following year, he becomes an AHL first-team All-Star. It's unfortunate in the third year with the Oilers, he got hurt and missed significant time because he was projected to be playing in the National Hockey League this year after his AHL, you know, All-Star season. So his misfortune is our fortune, and we're very happy to have him. You know, Shane's a big guy. He's a 6'5" off skates. You know, 6'7", 6'8" on skates, and he fills a lot of the net, and he's very athletic, and he's a very hard worker.
Coming into this weekend, obviously, not the sort of preseason, the build-up that you had wanted, and having to cancel all those games to start against the Belfast Giants, who this past weekend had a great weekend against Fife and the Nottingham Panthers. Of what you've seen of Belfast and what you've seen of your own team, what do you see happening in this game? How do you see your approach to this game being?
Well, you know, for me being a first game, I'm more worried about us than I am anybody else. You know, if you're confident in your team, then you know it's going to go out and execute the game plan. And if you can execute your game plan, it gives you a good chance to win. So for me, I'm more worried about us than I am our opponent right now. And that's not a disrespect to anybody or anything like that. And any coach that's been around knows that you got to worry about your own group at the beginning of the year before you taper things to your opponent. The advantage we have is that nobody has seen us. Nobody's seen any video on us. Nobody knows what to expect, you know, coming in. They may think they know our personnel, but they don't know, you know, what our combinations are, what our power play looks like, how we're going to kill penalties. So, you know, teams, we have the advantage a little bit that I'm going to be able to pre-scout the Belfast Giants, but the Belfast Giants and our opponents aren't going to be able to really pre-scout us because they haven't seen us yet. So that's an advantage for us.
Listen, Coach, good luck this season, not so much this weekend, and thanks for your time.
Anytime.
And thank you to Malcolm Cameron and to a very dapper Patrick Smith.
Paddy.
All business up top, all jammies down below, but I believe was the order of the day. But some interesting comments there from the new belt or from the new Glasgow Clan coach. Obviously, he thinks that coming in with nobody having seen his roster, it's going to be a bit of an advantage, guys. So what are you expecting from Saturday, Sunday, Sheffield and Glasgow, says?
I hate this part of the show, Davey. I sound like Davey McGimsey here.
Yeah.
You know, it's look, it's another new opponent. The guys will have done their homework on Sheffield for sure. Again, I know Glasgow play tomorrow night, I think it is, against Dumfries. Solway, my apologies. In Dumfries, and then they play somebody a night before us. I can't remember who it is though. But look, again, if they're playing tomorrow night and there's video available, and if whoever they're playing on Saturday night, I can guarantee you that Adam and Mace and Stewie will be doing their homework on Saturday night, even if that means that they have to stay up all Saturday night to get Sunday and put the guys in the best possible order for Sunday. So first food forward, Saturday night's the game. Sheffield Steelers in Sheffield. It's going to be a tough, tough game. They've started the season well. They've got some good players, have a lot of experience. A lot of people are saying they're the team to beat. We're the team to beat. So, you know, we've basically got a really good squad this year. Yeah, you've had a couple of hiccups along the way, but I totally agree with what Mace said earlier. If we prepare the right way and we basically do what the system has put in place for them, and the guys basically, you know, they come along and get ready to play, then we will give Sheffield a game on Saturday for sure.
Joel, guys my age and maybe older, maybe slightly younger, have our NFNF, our 22nd October 2002 moment, but seems the younger generation, your top cap tip crowd that you hang about with, are all into this FTC.
Yeah, look, I mean, there's been some spicy back and forth between the two fan bases over the past few years. It's good for the game. I like a bit of spice to be added to the game. You know, the three of us, I know Patrick as well, you know, we all grew up as kids. Obviously, you guys are hockey fans, but you've grown up around kind of football grounds around Northern Ireland and all that kind of stuff. And you like a bit of an edge to your game. You like a bit of an atmosphere. And when games can have a wee bit of spice to them, it makes it more interesting. So I'm all for it. I mean, I to be honest, I've said it before. I'm actually a big fan of the folks behind the scenes at the clan. I think Garth Chalmers and Jerry McLaughlin are top guys. And I hope things come together for them and that things kind of chill out and stabilize. But this weekend is really just two extremes, isn't it? You've got really going in against looking at the league table anyway, the form team so far. You know, Sheffield have 10 points out of a possible, 14 so far, 7 games played. And not to take your job, Davey, I'd never even think about it, but they have the most goals scored at 27 and the third most against at 21. So they're a high scoring team, but they're also leaking a minute the back a wee bit. So interested to see. I don't think you discredit or you disrespect any opponent in this league, regardless if they've just coming in off a preseason, whatever else. So I would expect, and I know for a fact that the Giants will treat both of these games exactly the same. Go out, put in a professional performance, and bat their all around them.
Well, if you can get yourself down to the SSE Arena on Sunday, 4 o'clock face off. But if you can't, that's always available with our good friends at Belfast Giant TV. I've heard a rumour that there's a very special guest sitting beside you in the hot seat on Sunday afternoon, says.
You know more than me, mate.
All right, okay. Well, I'll leave that as a secret then. Any other business, gents?
I want to know who it is.
Is it
you, Davey?
No, it's not me. You'll have to tune in on Sunday.
You'll have to tune in on Sunday.
I had a wee WhatsApp bar. Could you send me some stats? So it's somebody important, like.
All right, okay. That's all right. She's going down that line, is she? That's fine. No problem at all. We'll wait and see what happens. it'll be good to have her along and joining me in the game. So we'll have to see what happens.
Red,
I know you,
there.
You know who it is, Davey. So it's your, don't worry. I know who it is. I'm just calling a big guard. yes, I've got a bit of any other business. I still have this shirt sitting on my kitchen table, and I haven't been contacted to find out who's going to.
Do you remember, Joel? Was it Jordan or somebody? Or,
oh, it was Joel or somebody. Joel, it was Joel somebody, but I don't know any of that. That's all I know.
Oh, Joel Keatley or something, wasn't it?
Thanks for letting me know. I don't know if we should be discussing that here or should be discussing that afterwards, but whoever it is, get in contact with Davey on AVFTB, and we will try and get that shirt to you on Sunday. Because it's sitting gathering dust on my kitchen table at the minute.
Joel?
Yep, the only other thing, Simon, you'll maybe know a little bit more about this, but obviously the Belfast Giants OSC, who do fantastic work, the official supporters club, have announced their Giants quiz night. And I believe you're probably the man with the mic, the hostess with the mostest is on that night, Friday, 12th of November at 6:30. And I think it's happening in the new W5 Lecture Theatre.
Yeah, W5 Lecture Theatre, no show without punch. I'm in the middle of writing the questions now, and I'm sure Davey will give me a hand to write around as well at some point. But it's more of it's going to be a wee bit of a twist. We did one a couple of years ago for Stephen Murphy's testimonial. So this one, there's going to be three teams made up from the boys. They're all going to be there. It'll be the first night that it's going to be a members only night for the OSC. So if you're not a member, you might be able to get in before the tickets go on sale on Sunday from the OSC desk. It'll sell out. There's absolutely no doubt about it. The numbers are limited, and we will do our best to make sure everybody has a good night. So the boys are all up for it. They're starting to get a wee bit. They're asking questions. Hey, what are you going to ask questions on? What is it, or is it general knowledge? Or is it just sport? And I'm not giving. You know, I've told them it's general knowledge with a bit of sport and a bit of hockey in it. So, but there's a little bit of a twist. We're trying to put in a few other wee bits and pieces. We had a bit of a conversation last night with Johnny and Christine, we're trying to do something a wee bit different and bring something to the table. It's been a difficult year. Normally we'd have at least one or two events already organised for the OSC, but unfortunately due to the current situation, we're not being able to do that. So this is the first of our events for this year. It's going to be, I say, Friday the 12th, 6:30. At W5 Lecture Theatre. So thank you very much to the guys at W5 for staying behind that little bit longer to let us get the quiz organised. And just another point, I know Joel's already been in the W5. See, if you haven't been and you get the opportunity, maybe nothing to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend, or even before you come to the game on Sunday, get yourself booked into W5. It's absolutely awesome.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah, I went and stole my 7-year-old nephew out of school to have an excuse to go and see it. But they have really, really leveled up all the way across W5. The actual attractions, the exhibits are just phenomenal. The place looks top notch. And it will be a jewel in the crown of that new pavilion. Yes, the OSC have announced their team captains, says David Goodwin, Mark Garside, and Kevin Rain will be captaining their teams. And they say that you should come with your thinking caps on because, as you say, it's a quiz with a twist. So get yourself a membership of the OSC and get yourself a ticket to that because it will sell out. And that Sizz has absolutely no chill as a quiz master. You might as well. You bring your encyclopedia with you. Forget about it. Like, but that's
anybody find using their phone will be disqualified.
I'll throw one in here. I'll throw a stat in for the boys to see if anybody actually does listen from the locker room. The goal JJ Pickenit scored after 12 seconds against the Nottingham Panthers last week was actually the fifth fastest goal in Belfast Giants history. Don't you think it's Stevie Thompson doesn't have these stats at his fingertips?
He's writing it down right now.
Threw a message out to the boy. But the fastest ever Belfast Giants goals, there's two that were equal. Do you want me to save it for another time, Sis? Or do you want to know?
Do you know what? The thing about it is, the ones who are going to, it's the players that are answering the majority of the questions. So there is, as I say, there is a bit of a twist in it. I don't want to give too much away, but if you want to give the answer, that's fine, because I know there is some of the players that listen, especially when they're on, because they're a wee bit vain that way. I know they listen if they're on. And one of the people that was doing an interview earlier on was asking questions today. So, you know, Gary was asking a few questions. Hoogie was asking a few questions. Goody was saying we're shorting the teams out this week. So I think they're trying to strategically pick the smart ones and trying to, you know, coax them into their team. So it'll be interesting to see who comes up with the points. And we'll put a wee trophy together for it as well. And believe you me, the boys will be bragging about this. Like, you know, bragging rights in the dressing room the next day at practice is something that they'll be looking forward to.
Well, there was two goals scored after 9 seconds. We'll tell you next, after the quiz, we'll tell you what the answer to those two are. Paddy can remind me in a couple of weeks.
What a cliffhanger.
I'll tell Simon and he can ask the question at the quiz night. But if that's all you guys have.
Yeah, it's all for me.
Yes, sir.
We've managed to scrabble through this car crash of an AVFDB. Like, Mian says, I've joked about it for years. I mean, Coach did when we did these before, Aaron, etc. Paddy is absolutely, this is, I've made it look difficult. Paddy makes it look easy. Hosting, sitting talking about hockey is easy. Getting asking questions and answering them is easy. Sitting doing this, I've obviously proved pretty difficult. So come back, Paddy. Hope you get well soon.
I know you posted earlier on about a photograph, but that's not where you're sitting. I think you're actually sitting in your bathroom.
And I swear, this is
you're sitting on your B-day, are you?
Sitting on my ironing board, mate. It's all here. On the ironing board.
All pro. All reading. Pro. YouTube exclusive there.
Yeah, that's what the bed. That's what the break of the air is in bed.
Super job, Davey, mate. You nailed it.
So massive thank you to interim head coach Jeff Mason, JJ Pickenich, Slater Doggett, Lewis Hook. Happy birthday, Andrew Dixon. To Premier Sports, Aaron Murphy, Paul Leary, Caitlin Berry for the footage, Jans TV for the stuff from Sunday, and to Simon. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, David.
Mr. Neil, you're up there. Mr. Neil.
Thank you very much, boys. And it was a pleasure.
To everybody out there in listener land, thanks for listening. Get in touch at AVFTB on the Twitter, at Facebook. Get in touch. Let us know what you thought of the show. And let's hope you enjoy your hockey, and we'll catch you next time on A View from the Bridge. You're right. Still you're right.